morning. This is Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of the Lenawee County Mission. For the next few minutes, you'll hear how God is reaching out to those staying at the mission and how He's reaching out to the greater church community. Now here's Lenawee County Mission's Executive Director, Pastor Stephen Palmer, with this week's word.
Isn't love like the greatest expression? Which is what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13. Did you have that?
Yeah. It says, there are three things that will endure: faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love.
Okay, so if it says, thanks Shane, if it says that faith, hope, and love will abide, they will endure, right? But the greatest of these is love. And we say the greatest of these is love because that's what God is. At least wrongly understood, it's love. Well, faith and hope, gentlemen, what is that? Let's start with faith. How do you understand faith?
Knowing that the way I see God is the right way, and you know, faith and trust are so much hand in hand. You know, my faith is that this way is, and that's it.
Faith in God loves me. You know, in humanistic form, Jesus was his ultimate example of love, and then we are to. In all we say and do, express that love towards those He places in our lives so that we can bring it all harmoniously here to now.
Hey, Mark, would you say that that's an act of worship?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Were you going to say something?
I was going to say faith is just complete trust in God, basically.
Okay, I like that. I think it needs to be this settled, this unwavering conviction that I trust the God of Jesus.
I'm in. All in.
All in. All in. Yeah. All in. And what Brandon's really trying to get us, trying to drive home is, are we really all in with the truth that God loves us madly, furiously, as we are?
Boy, I think that's why we're here.
Yeah, and that's, yeah, go ahead.
Well, we're here at the mission, and we're trying to learn how to express that love and live a life of love. And hopefully, by doing it here in this house, when we leave here, we'll do it in another house, and so on and so on.
That's part of it. But it's very hard to get to where I can love somebody in this house or love somebody in a house down the road or wherever I find myself if I cannot embrace the radical, ruthless truth that I am loved. Part of the reason we're here at the mission is to learn that we are loved as we are. We came here homeless, broken, busted, right? Addicted, penniless, divorced, depressed,
unwanted,
hopeless, desperate. And God says, love you, because that's what I am.
Provides.
And so we have opportunities to taste that grace while we're here. That taste should fill our innate void. You know what St. Augustine said, our hearts are restless, O Lord, until they rest in you. That we have this innate restlessness. We're searching, we're looking for love in all the wrong places. Quote some singer-songwriter, right? Until we find it in you. And once I found it, I now realize that I am invited through that act of grace to be a participant in the new creation. So yes, that's what faith is. Do I really trust, one, the truth, right? And two, that God has an interest, God's interest in me is the best, right? That through that, I am giving purpose, participation in the new creation. I have a purpose. Because most of us have been walking around aimlessly looking for a purpose. What am I here for? Is it really just to eat, drink, and be merry? No. No. It's what Paul calls us to be: co-laborers, co-creators, and what God's intention for God's creation is really like. So once I can take that love into myself, then we can do what you're talking about, Dan, share it with somebody else, because that's what we see Jesus doing as pure love in human flesh. He just, you can't give away something you don't have. If you don't have a shirt on your back, you can't give it to some guy who's naked. Right? If you don't have love, you cannot give it away. And until we can really trust that God loves us as we are, we cannot give it away. Okay, that's a good definition of faith. That makes sense why Paul would put that in 1 Corinthians. What about hope? Anything about hope?
No hope that the harmonious community will come to fruition. His plan, his goal.
Yeah.
Okay, I think Paul puts faith and hope are right there together, because faith plus hope will lead to this trust. They both have this component of trust in them. That kind of this hope is this settled, unwavering conviction that God's intention for God's creation will come to fruition. That it was inaugurated and started the new creation through Jesus. And that I have a role to play in that. Now all of a sudden, I'm looking not to my visions and my plans, but I'm looking to something else's, what we call God's vision and God's plans. Thus, Jeremiah makes sense. What does Jeremiah 29 say, Mark?
God knows plans he has for us, plans of hope and future, plans of prosperous and not harmless.
Not harmless. Have a fullness of life.
Three times plans.
Yeah.
In one verse.
And then Paul says love. And we understand that this, when he's talking about this agapic love, that there is, we say, well, is this unconditional? Well, it's this eternal presence. I mean, God is eternal. And Paul says, look at this trust and this love, this trust expressed through faith and hope and love, these endure. It's not like we just are waiting for an afterlife in heaven, that our faith is that I believe I've been saved and I hope I make it to heaven. And then I get there and I realize, well, I guess I have been saved because here I am and heaven really exists, so I don't need to hope for it anymore. That's just wishful thinking. So that the only thing left is love. That's not what Paul is saying. So why wouldn't he say that? What was he trying to say then?
I think love is the expression of God's mercy towards us in the grace, or his ultimate expression of his mercy.
Okay, so part of it, even if we're going to think in terms of afterlife, right? Don't we still want to trust that God loves me?
Faith.
Yeah. Don't we still want to hope? Right? So that maybe when we think of heaven, not so much as just the eternal retirement and rest. Right, swinging around in a hammock on the Malibu beach of heaven with our little drink with an umbrella in it. No. What if we're co-creators in what they called in the Old Testament a royal priesthood? That with our Lord, our King, over the new creation, we are still laboring, working, in advancing God's ongoing creative activity.
Yeah, I think hope, in a sense, is that, this being or living a life of love, the hope is that it's not some unattainable fantasy. The hope is that love can abound in the world.
And we can't, when I use terms like hope is a settled, unwavering conviction that God's way will come to fruition. Right. Look at it. If Paul starts out with faith, and we say, I'm all in. You're all into what? I'm all into the reality that God loves me as I am, right? And that God wants to move me into something. Well, move me into what? Well, that's God's vision, isn't it? So my hope is, if this is concretized and solidified, then that has to be real.
Yeah.
And the force that does all that is love. And Brendan says, look it, this is what we call grace. And it's offered to you. And we try to offer, we see Lenawee County Mission as being an instrument in which God offers that to you who are currently residing here at Lenawee County Mission. All right? And how do we do that? We worship.
We trust.
That's how we move to trust. As we start worshiping, because we have seen the vision and we have committed ourselves to it. Thus, Jesus, in his life, listens to one voice. Right? It's the voice of his Father. It's the voice that guides and directs the vision. Right? And because he says yes to this one voice, he says no to all the other voices.
And that's what we're expected to do.
Yep. Yeah, so Paul would write things like, be Christ-like. Be, if we're going to be living sacrifices daily as expressions of love, then we are exactly what Paul called us, imitators of God.
You know, before coming here, that Jeremiah 29:11, you know, God knows the plan, but I wanted to know this much of the plan, and I'd get in the way, and now since coming here, I'm trusting that he knows the plan, and I'm being a part of it now, and it got significance, interest, and purpose, because it says right there that he has purpose for us, you know, and
yeah, I
so
think
I'm
we're
learning
all,
that now.
I think you're right, Mark.
Correctively.
We were all kind of at that level where we kind of know what tomorrow was bringing. We kind of, and there's nothing wrong with having preparations and, you know, on my calendar next Tuesday, I got a meeting and such. You know, that's not exactly what I'm talking about. But we're talking about, you know, planning out our lifetime. There's nothing wrong with, you know, short-term goals, medium-length goals. You know, that's fine. As long as we understand that the goal, the telos, is God's intention.
Right.
And so if we're not listening to the one voice, we may be structuring plans that seem to us to be pretty good plans, but they may gradually be veering us off the line of what God's intention for our lives is. Thus, we need the spiritual disciplines like prayer to pay attention to that inner voice. Right? And gentlemen, we have all heard that inner voice.
Yeah.
But more often than not, we have silenced it, come up with rationalizations not to to follow it, to justify our own behaviors, et cetera, endorse our own plans, and look where we end up. Right back here at the seat of the cross of grace.
We hear the voice and we're afraid that we can't do it. You know, it's too much. I don't know how. You know, and I've failed so many times. I hear that voice, you know, telling me to go out there and, you know, follow Christ and to love, and I get burned by love, and I'm afraid to try again.
And then we start listening to another voice.
Right.
And that's just it. Jesus was rejected. Jesus was betrayed. Jesus was denied. Jesus was abandoned. Really, I'm supposed to stay in here and think that I'm better than him? That I'm never going to be betrayed, I'm never going to be rejected, I'm never going to be abandoned, I'm never going to be denied.
Yeah, right.
And yet, he knew the voice that says, despite all that, you're my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. And that's the voice that speaks to every single one of us and says the exact same thing. Matt, you're my beloved son. I knew my favor rests. Until we can really trust that, that's the only thing that's going to protect us. Right? From any rejection, any abandonment, any betrayal, any denial, all those things. Any failure. And so then it comes back to what you're talking about, Mark. Knowing that that voice tells me I'm loved and I trust it, I don't have to worry about tomorrow. And so then we say things like, well, then faith means I don't know what the future holds, but I know the one who holds it. And that's all I need to know. Because it's not really my job, my work, my goals, it's his. God's creator, I'm creature. Does that help, gentlemen?
It helps a lot.
Well, thank you for joining us on this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. May God's grace, peace, love, and joy be with you all.
Thank you for listening to Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of the Lenawee County Mission. We hope you'll join us again next Sunday morning. In the meantime, if you'd like to know more about the programs we offer at the Lenawee County Mission, or if you'd like to know about volunteer opportunities we have available, please go to our website at lcmission.org or call us at 265-4019.